Welcome to Digital Plus Insights, brought to you by HCL Software, your connection to the Digital Plus economy. Each episode features intimate conversations with industry leaders, exploring the integrated technology that's shaping our world. Delve into the insights, innovations, and ideas that define the way we work, communicate, and do business. It's more than digital. It's Digital Plus. Join the conversation. The future begins today.
Hello, and welcome to the Digital Plus Insights podcast. This is Mark Durham. I'm speaking today with Michael Vorderman, who's head of marketing for the DACH region at HCL Software and very knowledgeable about data privacy, who's joining us today from Germany. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm good. Thanks, Mark, for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's much appreciated. So let's jump right in. You have considerable expertise, as I said, in how data privacy legislation affects businesses, especially in the EU. Can you tell us how has the data privacy landscape changed in Europe in recent years?
Yeah, absolutely. While I'm not a lawyer, I just have to make this clear. I'm working for marketing. So in the marketing department, we deal with a lot of individuals' personal data. So we were in the midst of this biggest shift that came to us with a GDPR. It's like moving from an environment with few rules to one with a detailed legal framework that you have to follow. Before GDPR, data handling was less regulated. Now there's a need for explicit consent. You need to provide some privacy, transparency in the data you use, and you need to make clear what you want to do with the data. And if there's a data breach, it must be reported quickly. So we have a lot of regulations now around handling personal data. And this is not only for European companies. This is also important for global companies who deal with European citizens' data.
Okay. And GDPR, of course, is the General Data Protection Regulation, which is applicable across Europe. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
So you mentioned the risks for organizations doing business in Europe. What are the risks for non-compliance with GDPR?
Well, the risks are significant. First, there's the financial penalty that can occur. It's as high as 20 million euros or 4% of your annual global turnover, whichever is greater. But it's not just about the fines. To me, as a marketeer, it's more important that it's a substantial risk to our company's reputation if we harm the regulation and harm the data. So mishandling data can lead to a loss of customers' trust. And additionally, it can happen that you can face operational restrictions or bans on processing data if a court decides that it was based on that the data loss maybe is based on your company's procedures and processes that are not compliant to GDPR.
That all sounds pretty dire, and especially in a context where more and more companies are and other organizations are trying to connect with users in a context of trust. And it becomes difficult to do that, obviously, if you have the kind of reputational damage that you're describing. Not to mention, you know, what sound to me like pretty gigantic fines, potentially. So I mean, the whole thing does sound like something you'd have to pay close attention to. Yeah.
Yeah, this is true, and you need to take care in what systems you use, where you transfer data to. You always have to adhere to the several principles that GDPR is based upon. There's a need for lawful, fair, and transparent processing of data. This means that you cannot collect or use the data without a valid reason. You need to have some explicit consent of the individual that you can use the data or transfer the data. And also you have to look for the accuracy of the data on a regular basis. And you may not store the data forever like we did in the past. So in the past, we went out there, had our web forms, collected the data, and we kept it in Unica for forever so that we can use it and reuse it. And now you have to have a closer look how much data you collect, how old this data is. Is this still valid? You have to ask your customers on a regular basis, is this still valid? Am I still allowed to use the data for the purpose that you allowed us 12 months back or something? So this is something that needs to be woven into your systems and your processes.
That makes a lot of sense. So obviously data usage and therefore approaches to data privacy vary very widely among industries and also between the public and the private sectors. You know, there's a lot of variation in how data is used by different sorts of organizations and in different commercial and other pursuits. But are there common elements in data and technology strategies that organizations can adopt? Are there things that are guiding principles or guiding practices that people can follow?
Definitely. Yes, there's some universal strategies. Data security is top priority, akin to basic safety measures in any industry. So you need to bake in data privacy and security into your processes and your systems. It's like baking a cake and making data privacy a co-ingredient instead of just the sprinkle on top of the cake. When everything is done, it needs to be at the core of it. And consent management is crucial. You need to keep track of where you collected personal data and the consent to store this. And accountability. If somebody is asking you to delete their data or may modify the data for whatever reason, marriage, the last name changed, so we need to have a process in place that enables us to respond to these requests.
That's one provision of GDPR that is very different than what we have in the United States, for example, which is that the right to demand that your data disappear, you know, that it be deleted entirely.
The right to be forgotten. Yeah.
The right to be forgotten. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that sounds simple as a phrase, but to effect such a thing would be a considerable demand operationally, it seems to me.
Yeah, it's crucial that you have a good platform that you can rely on that enables you to have these processes implemented. It's good to have vendors you can trust. So if you use a CRM system and the CRM system hosts the data outside of the EU, you must make sure that the vendor of the CRM system also complies with GDPR. These are the basics. So if I then get the request of deleting some user's data, it's easier just to forward this request to my vendors for the CRM system or a marketing system. If they also adhere to the same regulations and know what needs to be done when such a request hits us. Yeah.
So the requirements that you're describing, you know, obviously have powerful implications for an organization's data privacy strategy and as well as their operations. So can you tell me a little more about the technology choices that result from that? You talked about the sort of platform you have, the capabilities and processes. Is there more that organizations need to think about?
Well, to me, it seems to be easier to comply with GDPR or regional regulations about data privacy if you have full control over the system. If you use some public cloud offering, for instance, you need to trust the vendor that they handle the data correctly. But and nobody else is looking into this data, even for maintenance purposes or something, or support teams cannot look into my customer's data. If I run the system by myself, it's easier. So what I try to do is I try to find vendors in my region. And if there's not somebody who can offer this to me, I try to find solutions that run cloud native so that I can choose a cloud provider where I book some infrastructure and deploy the software here regionally in the EU, in Europe. And that makes it much easier for us to comply with the standards, because now I can tell my customers or even employees, your data is safe because I'm the only one who has access to it, or my colleagues and I are the ones who have access to it. And we do not need to convince them, yes, and even if I go with other hyperscalers and public offerings, yes, they tell me they handle it correctly, but you never know. So in this way, with our Unica platform, this is hosted by us, for instance, I'm sure that we are the only ones who have access to the data.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you mentioned, by the way, and I just wanted to underscore in passing, the question of data transfer, because it matters a lot under GDPR where data is and how it's moved from place to place. And data, you know, in order to be used, obviously, it's going to be moving. So those provisions as well are the sort of thing you need to be able to track and monitor effectively with whatever platform and capabilities you've got in place. Is that right?
That's right. And the problem with new technologies like AI is often, and these are hosted in the US or somewhere else. You never know where it's hosted, really. And if you use even a chat platform that offers you some kind of AI co-pilot, you never know if the chat isn't transferred outside the European Union, just to be processed by these AI capabilities. So there's a lot to consider if you try to introduce new methods or tools to your tool set.
So anything that your platform has, any capability your platform has that it helps you monitor and track those movements of data is critical in complying with GDPR.
Yeah, and you just have to make sure when you acquire such a platform or a service that you know where it's run outside or inside the European Union, and when you monitor the flow of data, sometimes it's encrypted. You cannot tell what's happening there. So make sure from the planning stage that you know where the data resides or where it's transferred to.
Good, very good observation. So let's move now to the problem of data breaches and ransomware more specifically, because that's something that's been blowing up, you know, in the news, even in the public consciousness, let alone among technology folks. So how can organizations best manage those risks in ways that are both responsible in terms of their customers and their own business practices and requirements, and also compliant with GDPR and with other privacy frameworks and laws?
Well, from my point of view, but being in the line of business, it's like crisis management and marketing. So you need to have strong security measures that are foundational, akin to safeguarding your brand's integrity. But you need to train also your employees to recognize and respond to threats, much like training marketers to spot and address potential PR crises. So a clear incident response plan is essential. Think of it as a crisis communication strategy that kicks in when something goes wrong in a campaign. And for GDPR, it has to cover technical, legal, and communication aspects, so that you are prepared. And maybe you even need to run some external audits that trigger these communications and these plans, so that you can try them before it's an emergency case. So training for the employees, having a plan in your hands, just in case you need it, I think this is crucial to have.
Yeah, I mean, you've emphasized throughout the importance of planning in this, and it sounds like in this area in particular, it's critical, because time is such a powerful factor in responding to a breach. So you've talked also about privacy by design a little bit. The idea of creating information systems and architecture with data privacy considerations baked in. So what are the main principles there that organizations should keep in mind?
Before I joined the marketing force, I was a software developer. So it's a funny background to have as a marketeer, talking about software products. And when it comes to privacy by design, I think this involves integrating privacy considerations into every stage of system and product development. So you need to include conducting privacy impact assessments. So what happens here with the data if I build a new report that combines data from different systems, for instance, and ensuring privacy-friendly default settings. So when you start to create an app that asks for consent, that check in the box shouldn't be there just for the consent. It should be something that the individual has to make, this check mark. So this is something that you need to look on. And and embedding privacy into design of technologies and business practices. So being prepared for data that has some expiration dates, or data that needs to be edited or deleted from the systems. This is something that you can have there in your systems by design, instead of trying to fix this afterwards with some different systems around it. So just bake it in. And it's a lot about anticipating and preventing privacy invasive events before they happen.
So basically, organizations should be even at the level of a development group, they should be baking this stuff into their SDLC, their software development lifecycle process.
Yeah, definitely.
Gotcha. So finally, let's take a second and look beyond the legal and regulatory requirements. You alluded to this pretty powerfully earlier. How should organizations address the concerns of their customers and their employees, we should emphasize, with respect to data privacy?
Well, to me, data privacy goes beyond just ticking boxes, as I said. It's not just having some consent box on a web form. It's about building relationships based on trust. What we want to do is we want to have the data of our employees, of customers, business partners, because they are very valuable to us. And they only give us this kind of information, this data, if they trust us that we handle this well. So engage with customers and employees to understand their privacy concerns. Like a town hall meeting where everyone's voice is heard. Transparency about data privacy practices is key. Explain what you do, much like an open door policy in a community. So training employees isn't just about following the rules, just do not tell them, yes, you need to learn this. I need this certificate from you every year. And they click through such a learning module. I think it's important that they learn that there's value in data privacy, because we get trust, and with the trust we get the data that we need to do our job. It's about fostering a culture where privacy is respected and valued, and not just because it's required, but because it's the right thing to do.
Well, Michael, that's a powerful way to close, and I really appreciate you taking the time to join us and closing the time zone gap between us in Los Angeles and you in Germany. Thanks so much for your time and your expertise.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
It's been a real pleasure speaking with you, Michael. Michael Werdelin, joining us from Germany, and thanks everyone for joining. This has been Digital Plus Insights, and see you next time.